Hello, everyone. We've got 2 minutes until we officially start. So my name is Ryan Dixon. I'm taking over for Chris Curry as the moderator for this session. Just a few quick comments before we get started for the speakers in the room. We've got 15 minutes. That's a strict deadline. So I will raise my hand at the five-minute mark just to give you an idea where you're at. 5 minutes left. I'll give you a two-minute warning as well, and then we've got to have the next speaker up by the end of 15 minutes. So please leave your presentation on the last slide when you're finished, and that'll help us transition into the next talk. Please turn your cell phones off so don't interrupt anyone. And all right, so I'm first up. So again, hello everyone. My name is Ryan Dixon. I'm at the University of New Hampshire. And the title of my presentation today is Quantifying the Acidity and Basicity of 15 Floriculture Species When Grown in a Peat-Based Substrate. So a little bit of background. In greenhouse production, the species that we grow, as well as the nitrogen form that we supply in the fertilizer, interact in their effect on root zone pH. So these are data from a previous study where we grew three floriculture crops and in a peat-based media and supplied them with different fertilizers varying in ammonium to nitrate ratio. So along the x-axis, we have increasing amounts of ammonium of total nitrogen. The rest was supplied as nitrate. And on the y-axis, we have change in pH units over approximately 4 week period. So one thing that we notice is that as we increase the ammonium in the fertilizer, we get more of an acidic response in the substrate. pH drops. That's what we would expect with more ammonia. What we also see is that the species differed in their own individual effects on pH. For example, petunia consistently had the highest pH, geranium had the lowest pH, and patience was intermediate, regardless of the fertilizer applied. So part of going into this study, we wanted to look at, well, why do these species differ in their pH response? Well, one way that plants affect the pH in their root zone is that they balance the ionic charges of nutrients as they're taken up into their roots. So plants, when they take up positively charged nutrients, called cations, they balance that positive charge. They efflux acid into the root zone. Acid drops the pH. Plants, when they're taking up negatively charged nutrients, anions, they balance that negative charge by effluxing base into the root zone. That base brings pH up. Balanced uptake of cations and anions, that's no pH change. And in the top right box, that's the conversion of ammonium to nitrate, that's nitrification, which is microbial driven process, and it's also an important source of acidity in production. What we've also learned is that floriculture species differ in their sensitivity to developing micronutrient disorders, especially iron and manganese. So for example, geranium is a crop species that tends to be sensitive to iron toxicity. It also drops pH, where iron is more soluble for root uptake. On the other hand, petunia is an example of a crop that is sensitive to iron deficiency. As we saw in the previous slide, it also raises pH, where iron is less soluble for uptake. So because of these relationships with these crops, we sometimes label geranium as being this iron-efficient species and petunia as being iron-inefficient. We apply these labels to different floriculture crops, but in reality, there's little scientific data showing a link between iron efficiency status and pH effect across a range of species. So we ran a growth chamber experiment where the main objective was to quantify the acidic and basic effects on root zone pH over a range of floriculture crops. We had two main hypotheses. The first hypothesis was species that favored anion uptake would tend to produce more base in their root zone, and they would raise pH compared to species that preferred to take up cations. The second was that iron-efficient species would tend to be more acidic, drop pH, compared to iron-inefficient species which would tend to be basic and raised pH. Experiment had a factorial design with two factors, the first being the nutrient solution. We used the Hoagland solution that contained 0, 20, and 40% of total nitrogen as ammonium. The rest was supplied as nitrate. These salts were mixed with, or the nutrient solutions were mixed with reagent-grade salts and also deionized zero alkalinity water. The second factor was floriculture species. We tested 15 different species that varied in their reported iron efficiency status. This is a list of the species that we tested. So the top row is going to be our iron efficient group, sensitive to low pH and micronutrient toxicity. The bottom row is going to be our iron inefficient group, sensitive to high pH and micronutrient deficiency. And the crops in the middle row are going to be our general species that tend to tolerate a wider range in pH and are less sensitive to nutritional problems. We grew the plants in a 70-30 peat perlite substrate, adjusted the pH to 6 using hydrated dolomitic lime with zero residual activity. We grew the plants for 33 days in a growth chamber. And at the end, we measured change in pH and also growth as total dry mass gain. In a laboratory procedure, we also correlated the change in substrate pH units with acidity and basicity produced by the plants. We did this by taking samples of the same substrate used in the growth chamber experiment and titrated them with either hydrochloric acid or hydrated dolomitic lime. And we generated this polynomial equation relating pH change with milliequivalents of acid or base produced in a liter of substrate. So we used this equation to predict the acidity or basicity of the plants in the experiment. So for example, plants that dropped pH by one unit would have produced 9.72 milliequivalents of acid. We also looked at nutrient uptake in plants supplied with 100% nitrate. Uptake was determined by nutrient concentrations in the dry root and shoot tissue. We did not do this with any plant supplied ammonium. Without labeling the nitrogen source, it would not have been possible to differentiate nitrogen forms in the tissue. So we assumed all nitrogen uptake was nitrate. And we used the milliequivalent basis to compare cation and anion uptake with acidity, basicity produced per gram of dry mass gain. So what we found is that species differed in their basicity when supplied 0% ammonium or 100% nitrate. So on the x-axis here, we have our species tested. The y-axis is milliequivalents of acid, the negative values, or milliequivalents of base, the positive values, produced per gram of dry mass. So in this case, Lysianthus was the most basic, shown by the blue arrow, and geranium was actually slightly acidic, shown by the red arrow. This is a similar graph with species grown with the 40% ammonium nutrient solution. And so in this case, coleus was the most acidic, shown by the red arrow, and pentos was the least acidic, shown by the blue arrow. And they're not shown in this presentation, but species responses were intermediate with the 20% ammonium solution. We also found a positive relationship between net anion uptake and the amount of base produced by the plants. In other words, plants that took up more anion or negatively charged nutrients had a greater tendency to push pH up. So on the x-axis in this figure, we have milliequivalents of net anions taken up. On the y-axis, milliequivalents of acid or base produced. And so in this case, Lysianthus was the most basic and had the greatest anion uptake. A question that we had is, well, how much ammonium do we actually need in the fertilizer to stabilize pH? And so we calculated this using simple linear regression for each species, where the independent variable was the percent ammonium in the fertilizer, the dependent variable being total milliequivalents of acid or base produced in a liter of substrate. And what we found is that this value ranged from 0 to 35% across all species, and we actually calculated a negative value for geranium. So geranium tended to be a little bit acidic with 0% ammonium. In other words, to minimize the acidity of geranium, we need to steer towards a nitrate-based fertilizer. We also wondered if we could group species statistically based on their pH effect. And so we separated the different species into three clusters using k-means cluster analysis that ended up corresponding to basically their overall acidic, intermediate, and basic effects on pH. The clustering variables that we used were percent ammonium expected for a stable pH, the acidity, basicity produced per unit of plant growth for each of the nutrient solutions, anions, net anion uptake, and also the ratio of cation to anion uptake by the plants. And so the two variables that had the most impact in terms of which species fell into which cluster were the percentage of ammonium expected for a stable pH and also species acidity or basicity with 20% ammonium. And what we found is that our iron-efficient species were both acidic and basic in their pH effect. And so on the top of this matrix, we have our iron efficiency status. On the side, we have the different clusters, acidic, intermediate, and basic. And if we look at the pink box in the top left, we see that geranium is our iron efficient crop and was the only one of the group that had an overall acidic effect throughout the project. And Lysianthus and Pentas, for example, were also considered iron efficient, but tended to be basic and raised pH. Geranium also had the lowest tissue iron concentration, and zinnia had the highest tissue iron concentration, zinnia being an iron efficient crop. So in other words, there's no direct link between this iron efficiency label that we often give floriculture crops and their effect on pH. And it lends to an additional question, well, are the floriculture species that we call iron efficient, are they actually efficient at taking up micronutrients, or are they just sensitive to developing toxicity symptoms? We also looked at the average percentage of ammonium for a stable pH by cluster and found that these values differ by cluster. So on the x-axis in this graph, we have the acidic and intermediate and basic groups, and on the y-axis, the average percent ammonium for a stable pH. And so what we take from this is that one pH management strategy, if you're growing a wide diversity of crops, might be to try and group species together by their pH response and adjust the ammonium to nitrate ratio in the fertilizer accordingly. And so your more basic crop species would get more ammonium. Your more acidic crops like geranium and coleus would require more nitrogen. So in summary, species differed in their acidic and basic effects on pH and a peat substrate. Overall, geranium was most acidic, pentas was most basic. To minimize the acidity from geranium and prevent pH drop, we would need to supply geranium close to 100% nitrate nitrogen. Crops that took up more anion nutrients, negatively charged nutrients, tended to produce more base. They pushed pH up. And one pH management option that growers might consider when growing a diversity of crops is to group species by their pH effect and adjust their fertilizer program accordingly. Thanks very much. I'd like to thank our collaborators and sponsors, University of New Hampshire Cooperative Extension, University of Florida, as well as members of the Floriculture Research Alliance and USDARs. Thanks very much, and I'll take questions if you have them. So the question, trying to condense a little bit, is are there any commercial fertilizers or industry trends towards using nitrification inhibitors in production to stabilize that ammonium to nitrate ratio and be used as pH management strategy? And to my knowledge, no. but it could be. And one thing to remember about nitrification inhibitors is they sometimes have an effect on plant growth, and usually a detrimental effect on plant growth. So I'm not aware of that currently, but. All right, thanks very much.